methodology. Now, a lot of the water will be carrying metal not in that inorganic soluble form and not in that suspended solid form. It'll be travelling then as these metal organic species that I mentioned briefly in that end of lecture slide. In the oceans, for instance, copper, 99% then is transported bound to organic ligands. Zinc, same deal. Rivers, a lower percentage. Now, this is simply reflecting the difference in the amount of organic matter that's present between the oceans and the rivers, and the different binding ability of the organic matter that's present. That's why in the oceans, obviously the organic matter at a higher concentration and the binding sites that are available in that organic matter are much more effectively able to track the zinc, so they've got a better ability to chelate to the metals. Mercury is highly variable in the rivers, so there's a lot of attention now going into the Amazon where there's a lot of gold mining going on, and they use really basic methodology to do it, and so there's quite a lot of contamination of waterways with mercury. And it depends the amount of organic matter there, how much of it is solubilized in organic form. Now, the species of trace metal is vitally important for toxicology. So in the case of copper, free copper 2+ is very toxic. So there are several toxicology pracs out there on freshwater organisms that actually use copper 2+ as the classic chemical you would use as a toxicant. But if you put humic matter present, the humic matter complexes up the copper 2+ very well, and we'd then have a non-toxic situation. So if you went in there with atomic absorption spectroscopy and you measured for copper in a sample of water that had free copper 2+ and a sample of water that contained copper and humic matter, they can have identical concentrations of copper by that method, but one of them would be highly toxic to aquatic life, the other one there would be basically no toxicity at all to aquatic life. So you've got to pay attention to the species. As I said, in this case, it's the electroanalytical methods that will be the dominant ones for figuring out what's present. E½ is the half cell voltage, so you very carefully look at that half cell voltage and come up with some possible things that half cell voltage could correspond to.